If you mark 295, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. It's a familiar story that it has kind of a different ending, depending on, I guess, the point being made. But the story of a girl walking in the woods, nearly steps on a snake, and he begins to talk to her, enticing her to pick him up. Saying, I'm part of God's creation too. I need a friend. I'm not going to hurt you. And she begins to reason with herself. You know, we need to be nice to others. And shouldn't I be a friend if I'm asked to? So she reaches down to pick him up. Of course, he bites her. And she said, why'd you do that? He said, you knew what I was when you picked me up. There's a lot of applications we can make about that. We know things are dangerous. And yet we put ourselves around them. We know things can hurt us. And yet, to use the example from the story, we still pick it up and try to handle it and think that we're going to be the one that escapes the danger of that. What a silly thought that is. You think you can pick pornography up and it not affects you? You think we're going to be the one who escapes such a thing as that? Sexual sins are some of those that we try to pick up knowing full well, or ought to, if we've ever read anything about God's Word. We know the dangers involved in that. And it's just like the little girl, we're picking it up, trying to handle it, thinking it won't affect us, won't affect our souls, won't affect our children. Pornography is one of those issues that gets overlooked so often. We need to be mindful of that. We need to look at that as uncomfortable as it might be. We're talking about sexual images, sexual writings, sexual pictures, sexual videos, sexual phone calls, whatever they may be. I've got my timing right. Back in the 50s or 60s, I can't remember when it was. Supreme Court, the justices of the Supreme Court talking about some of these very issues. And strangely enough, the issue kind of changed gears, and they began to argue among themselves about exactly what pornography is. If we're going to make laws about it, how do we define it? What are the parameters of it? And one of the justices, when I first heard this story, I read who it was. I have since forgotten that. But one of the justices spoke up and he said, gentlemen, I may not be able to define it for you, but I know it when I see it. That's a good statement, isn't it? We know what snakes are. We know a snake when we see it. Oh, we're going to pick this one up. I know it's an uncomfortable topic. It may very well be. As long as some of us in this room have been Christians, it may very, very well may be that there's people in this room who have never even heard a lesson taught on it. That's how uncomfortable it is. We're just going to pretend it doesn't happen. Pretend it's not an issue, but it is an issue. It's a serious problem. And that's what we need to be talking about, because if to ignore it does not help any of us. It's a problem. And we need to talk about the problem. I want to give you some stats, just some very basic stats that I looked up this week. Every second, 28,000 plus are on the internet to some form or fashion using the internet pornography. 28,000 plus per second. Now that's worldwide, but that's per second. How many seconds have we been here this morning? 28,000 plus per second. Let's leave the world and bring it into America. 40 million Americans, regular users. 35% of all internet downloads are somehow related to it. 25% of all engine search questions related to it. That's how widespread it is. That's how common that it is. We have to be strangers concerning that. We've been looking about once a month or so. We've been looking at various things. Those visiting with us, here are some of the things we've looked at. We've talked about modesty. We've got to be different. We've talked about gambling and the impact it has on this country. We have to be different. We talked about divorce. We've talked about the study of submission. And today we're going to add to that a study of pornography. We have to be strangers in a strange land, because it is all too common. 40 million just in this country, regular users. 28,000 per second worldwide. That's how common that it is, and we have to be strangers. And the only way we're going to arm ourselves with it is to do the uncomfortable thing, and that is we've got to talk about it. We have to bring it out into the open. And don't think I wouldn't rather be talking about grace today. Don't think I wouldn't rather be talking about God's love today. But to put our head in the sand for this, it's going to harm us. It's going to harm people we love. It's going to harm our children. It's a problem, and it is virtually a worldwide problem. So let's talk about that for just a moment. In 1 Peter 2, verse 11, we just studied 1 Peter 11 or 2 in our Wednesday night studies not long ago. In verse 11, he says, "Dear beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, that war against the soul." We have to be strangers in a strange land. We are pilgrims passing through, but we can't think and behave like everybody else that's around. It bombards our minds, and we've got to be strange about that. So let's talk about the problem that it is. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. The problem is not a sex drive. Let's make sure we don't throw God in under the bus on this issue. Hebrews chapter 13, the problem is not sex drive. That is God-given. And because He is a righteous God, and because He is a just creator, He gave us a way to fulfill that God-given drive. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, "Marriage is honorable in all things, and the marriage bed is undefiled." Yes, there is something about us that has these pulls. God knows that. He gave us a way to fulfill that. So don't throw this up on God. Sex drive is not the problem. That's natural. That's God-given. And it culminates with this God-given institution of marriage. So make sure we understand that it's not the sex drive. Could you imagine a farmer gets his plows out and he tills up all the land and he looks back over it at the end of the day and here's all this dirt piled up and ready to go. And he looks at, well, what beautiful soil that is. And then a child goes out and plays in it in their nice school clothes and they come in and mama's complaining about the nasty dirt. Which one is it? Is it beautiful soil or is it nasty dirt? Depends on where it is, isn't it? Depends on where it's at. Sex drive's not the problem. God's given us a way to fulfill that. But there are other things that's just nasty. There are other things that's just filthy. And we've got to understand the difference between them. And we've got to make sure we're not picking up something when we know what it is, and we know the danger that it is. It's a problem. It's a growing problem because it's so easy now. Pornography has been around for a long, long time. You know that. But there used to be some undergroundness to it. It was in magazines with plastic covers over it. It was coming through the mail, and it would be in a box. And it took a little bit of boldness because the mailman knew what was in that box. And you had to go up to the counter and verbally ask the guy running the cabinet to give you a certain magazine. There was some boldness in it. Not anymore. Not anymore. Now it's private. And now it's secretive. And now it's in a back bedroom or it's in an office somewhere and nobody may know it but you. Do we not realize God's involved in this? It's easy now. Because it's so prevalent, it's so easy to get to. It can be done somewhat in a nasty, in a secretive way. The problem's growing. It's a problem that can be thrown in our face. You're flipping through a magazine, a wholesome magazine. You're flipping through some gardening magazine or some cooking magazine or some whatever. And you're just flipping through and then there's an advertisement there. And how often are those advertisements with half-dressed models? Both men and women. They're advertising something that's wholesome. But they're doing it with models that are half-dressed. You didn't go looking for that. You weren't actively flipping through hunting for that. It just happens. And you go to websites and all of a sudden these pop-up ads are right there in your face. And you punch in a search engine and all of a sudden you're in a place you didn't want to be at. It just happens. Everybody here has probably experienced that. It's a problem. It's a growing problem because of how readily it can be done now. It's a problem that will show up right in our face when we're not even hunting it. That's the kind of problem that we're talking about? Who struggles with this problem? Your neighbors do. Your workmates do. Your family does. Your brethren does. Society in general struggles with this. It has been known to affect preachers, elders, deacons, Bible class teachers, and everything that can go in under any umbrella related to them. It's a problem, and it is a serious problem. People whose mind is willing, but the flesh is weak. I've got an article. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I just want to pull out a couple phrases because it's so well written and so deep in its thought. It says, what makes pornography so dangerous? I'm going to read a couple sentences. He said, it's not just that it corrupts, but that it desensitizes. Think about that. It desensitizes us. You remember when Jeremiah talked about those who are, they can't even blush anymore? Remember when Paul wrote to Timothy and he talked about that their conscience has been seared. Conscience burned. It can't even be heard anymore. They can't stick it with anything. The problem is not just that it corrupts, it desensitizes. The problem is not just that it unleashes passions, but that it cripples emotions. It's not just that it removes the blinders. It distorts the view. And it goes on to make a couple of other statements. It's a problem. And because we want to tiptoe around it, in many cases in the church, it's an ignored problem, which means it just goes bigger, which means we do it and we don't think much about it, but we don't get called on it. We're going to be strangers in a strange land. This is a problem, and it's a serious problem, and it affects millions. It's a heaven and hell problem. Let's make sure we get to the serious part. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. It's a problem. Yeah, you know, but a cavity is a problem. It's a problem. Well, you know, a twisted ankle can be a problem. Make sure we understand the kind of problem we're talking about. This is a heaven and hell problem. This is a problem that will condemn us because it makes us impure. It makes us unclean. And that's a problem. And it's a problem that plays off into eternity. Ephesians chapter 5. Read with me verse 3. Ephesians 5 verse 3. Sexual immorality and all uncleanness. The old King James. Newer translations use the word impurities. Sexual pictures. Sexual images. Sexual videos. All those sexual things we talked about. It. We know it when we see it. Right? That's what the justice described it. Those things are unclean. They are impure. They are not a part of that marriage bed that's undefiled. Make sure we understand the seriousness of this. Sexual immorality and all uncleanness. You want to know where pornography is in the scriptures? There it is. It's a part of the all. It is unclean, it is impure, and it's a part of that. Sexual immorality and all uncleanness and covetousness. Let it not once be named among you as becoming of saints. The point is, it does not fit. It does not belong in the life of anyone who is a saint. That includes me. That includes you. Turn back a book to Galatians chapter 5. We're talking about a heaven and hell problem. Heaven and hell issue. Galatians chapter 5. Start with me, verse 19. These are the works of the flesh, and they are clear, they're evident, they are made known. It's not a secret. What did the justice say? We know it when we see it. They are evident. They are clear. Sexual immorality. Uncleanness. The very same word from Ephesians 5. Impure. Any impurities in the sexual nature. Sexual immorality. Uncleanness. Lasciviousness. You want to know where pornography is in the scriptures? Here's a part of it. It's a part of this. It goes on to make a longer list. Idolatry, witchcraft, enmity, strife, jealousies, factions, etc. Look at that last phrase. And such like. You know where pornography is in the scriptures? There it is. Sexual immorality, impurities, lasciviousness. and anything like it, such like. There's pornography in the scriptures. It is like these things that are being condemned. And to what extent are they condemned? Verse 21, I tell you, as I have told you in the past, that they which do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's not hard to understand. There are some things in the epistles that are hard to understand. That's not one of them. We all know what shall not means. Those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Pornography is a problem, and it is a heaven and hell problem. It is an eternal damnation and condemnation issue. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5. Where does it all originate? Where does the sin originate? And that's what basically any sin. Matthew 5, verse 28. I say unto you, whosoever that looks on a woman to lust after her, is that not what a part of pornography is? No, but we know it when we see it. We know what it is designed to do. We know what it was created by sellers to do. Whoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. That's where it starts. We feast on these things and we think it won't bother us. Have you read the article in the bulletin yet? If you have not got it, before you go home, don't forget to pick that up. The article, if you haven't read it yet, the idea of this philosophy of you can look as long as you don't touch and you're okay. You can just look and feast and lust after all manner of things, but as long as you don't engage in it, you're okay. That article combating that, showing the fallacy of that, the dangers of that, and how wrong it is. But we didn't need that article. As well written as it is, we didn't need it. That's what Jesus just told us. What he's telling us is you can't look at that without it affecting us. That's what it was designed to do. It was designed to affect our desires. And it affects the heart. And as we well know, Proverbs tells us that from the heart is where all action flows. Everything flows out of the heart. The way we think. We look, we desire, we feast, we later act. It's a heaven and hell problem. And to look with lust is going to lead to an impure heart. And as that article says, you can't look without touching and think that that's not going to affect you anyway. It does. Gazing leads to other things. It's a problem. And it's a heaven and hell problem. But let's go on. Let's make sure we understand that it's not just a heaven and hell problem and we don't have to worry about it till then. It's a problem in the present. It's a problem now. It's a problem right now. I don't want us, by emphasizing how much that it's an eternal issue, I don't want any of us to think, okay, well, I'll deal with it later. Because I've got a long time to live, as if we know that. It's a problem in the present, in the immediate, because it has addictive powers. It has pulls. And then it spreads. And it becomes, and we do more and more of it, and we move into harder and harder things, harder and harder atmospheres of it. Families have been destroyed. Lives destroyed. Tears shed over this. Pain, shame, and guilt. Because living a double life, and we know it, and we're sick about it. Hate it. The problem is, as with all realms of things that can be addictive, grabbing onto it's easy. Ask the smoker. Grabbing onto it's easy. Ask the alcoholic. Problem's letting go of it after it's got you. Like the little girl, we're picking things up, thinking it's not going to hurt us, and then we can't let go of it because of the addictive pulls of it, because of the things that just keeps grabbing back to us. Grabbing is easy. Letting go of it is hard, and that's the problem. It's a problem in the present because of all the homes that it has destroyed. Husbands, wives, no longer satisfied with their spouse. All of a sudden, to use a present day phrase, some comparison shopping going on. Dissatisfaction sets in. And what ends up being built is you've got this serious threat. In that same article I read about the present day statistics, so those who become addicted to these things, infidelity goes up 300%. I can't even picture what 300% is. That's such a big number. 300% increase because of these. It's a present issue. It's not just a heaven and hell issue from something out in the future. It's right now. Destroys homes, destroys self-esteem, destroys self-respect. It destroys lives. That's what it does. And that's why we have to talk about this. That's why we cannot be neutral about this. As hard as it is to let go, we have to let go. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now remember, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul is talking about things that are okay. Things that are lawful. They're not unclean. They're not impure. But what he says in verse 12 is, all things are lawful to me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Even lawful things can't control us. What in the world do we think about unclean things? Lawful things can't control us. What about the impure things? We have to let it go. It cannot control us. It cannot have this pull and this power over us. And this is just one of many things we can talk about, but we have to have control of it. And that's what this lesson is about. That's why we're doing this. Because the Christians cannot be neutral about this. It's a problem. Everybody in this room, every adult in this room knows everything that I've said is true. As a matter of fact, you may know some statistics yourself. You may know how easy it is, and you may be worried about it and so on. We can't be neutral about it. And like the little girl in the intro, we know what it is. It's a problem. We know what it is. It's a heaven and hell problem. We know what it is. It's a problem in the immediate present. Destroying families, destroying lives, destroying a lot of things. And that's why we're studying this. And that's why we're doing this. Because are we picking something up that we know will bite us? We know is dangerous. We're going to do something we typically never do. When you think of something like this, the whole concept of studying this just kind of makes you feel nasty, doesn't it? I feel like we all need to go home, take 37 showers, and then come back and we'll start over. But this is not the end. It's a problem, and it's a serious problem, heaven and hell problem. But it is a problem that can be defeated. And we're going to do something we typically never do and we're just going to build on this. We're going to stop right here, and in the next lesson, we're going to pick up right in this spot, because I don't want to breeze through it. And I don't want to hurriedly go through something and just give 9 seconds to what to have a little bit more depth. But as bad as the problem is, as serious as the problem is, as widespread as the problem is, it's not a problem we have to throw our hands up in the air and say, well, I guess it wins. I guess we'll just cry uncle and we'll just see to it. And no. There are things we can do. There are actions we can take. And that's what we're going to pick up at when we come back after our Bible class period. We're strangers in a strange land. And there are things we can do in our lives that can make us not fall to this. For those of us that have picked it up, it can make us get control of it. There are things we can do. And I don't want us to leave with the idea that, well, we can't handle this. Yes, we can. And there are answers to that. And that's where we're going to start at. So for right now, get your songbooks out. We'll sing the invitation song. We'll go into our Bible classes. And when we come back, we're going to remind ourselves about the problem. But then what we're going to do is we're going to look at what we can do to defeat it. Because this problem doesn't have to control us. Galatians chapter 5, there are things that will keep us out of heaven. We're studying one of them now, but there are a lot of things that are impure. There are a lot of things that will make us unclean. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of nasty dirt out there that we spot ourselves with and doesn't have any business. It doesn't fit, remember. Ephesians 5, it doesn't fit in the life of the saint. We need to get rid of that. Purity is a trademark of the saint. Cleanliness, spiritual cleanliness, unspotted garments. That's the trademark, and we have to have that. And it's Christ's blood that makes it possible. If you've never obeyed those initial steps, you've never confessed Him as your Lord, even though you believe it, you've never repented, you've never been baptized to wash those sins away, there's a lot of nasty dirt on you. If we did that, but we've re-spotted ourselves, which we have done, we don't have to stay there. We can't, don't sit there and remain unclean and impure. That's why we have the opportunity. And we have the opportunity right now while Lance leads us in this first verse of the song he chose.